Welcome to the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Be a good one. Welcome to the show. Have a co-host on the line, so I'm going to explain some things briefly, and then I'm going to play a clip. Thank you for calling in, Ben, and John and Don will be here shortly. A secret federal court found in 2011 that the NSA violated civil rights of Americans when it collected thousands of emails and other digital messages between Americans. The FISA court ruled part of the program to be unconstitutional and ordered them to be revised. The government made changes and the court signed off in 2011, which was November. The release of key opinions and other documents was authorized by Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. So basically what happened was they were collecting data, and this video demonstrates how they were doing it. So I'm going to play this clip before we get too far into the show. I'm going to make sure the volume's at a max. 1 second, please. So basically, it was ruled that the NSA shouldn't do spying on people who are not involved in foreign affairs. In other words, let's say you're targeting 7% of the American population that are involved directly with foreign governments, but if the other 80% they capture data from aren't, that's a violation. So here goes.
The NSA surveillance scandal. They're coming clean in a way. The White House released documents dealing with a foreign intelligence surveillance court ruling from 2011. After the Electronic Frontier Foundation filed a Freedom of Information Act request. In the documents, the court lambasted the National Security Agency for illegally collecting as many as 56,000 emails from innocent people each year over a 3-year period. Then the NSA proceeded to misrepresent the size and scope of collection to the FISA court. Former Surveillance Court Chief Judge John Bates wrote in the October 2011 decision, quote, "The court is troubled that the government's revelations regarding NSA's acquisition of internet transactions mark the third instance in less than 3 years in which the government has disclosed a substantial misrepresentation regarding the scope of a major collection program." So, the NSA secret is out. And instead of reporters beating the NSA pinata for a story here and a story there, President Obama spilled all of the candy on the floor, presumably so that we can get our sugar fixed and then move on. But is it really that simple? Well, political commentator Sam Sachs is here now to discuss. Sam, is it really that simple? I mean, this report says that tens of thousands, 56,000 per year, Americans had their internet communications illegally monitored by the NSA. How does something like that happen?
Right, well, we can't confirm that number of 56,000. That's kind of what the NSA figures are saying. But this all centers on Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. That gives the NSA the authority to conduct this sort of mass surveillance as long as it's on foreign targets, and they don't need individual warrants for each target. They basically go to the FISA court, they explain the program that they're going to use, they explain the rules that they're using to collect this data, and the FISA court signs off on it. Then they go and they start collecting this data, and then it's up to the NSA to do with what they want. Now, this data that they're getting through the internet, we're talking mostly internet data here, about 91% of the data they collect is straight from internet providers through programs like PRISM, which we've heard about through these leaks. Then there's 9% of the data which is collected through upstreaming, basically. And this is where they tap right into the fiber optic cables and the internet hubs around the world and just suck information right out. And what we've learned is that the NSA doesn't have the technological capabilities when they're plugging into this fiber to adequately protect against American communications and domestic communications from being collected. So once this data is collected, it goes into a major, massive NSA database, and then NSA analysts can go and search these databases and then touch American communications, which goes against this FISA court order. And when the FISA court learned about this in 2011, they basically said, look, what you're doing here is unconstitutional. You have to put in new parameters to limit the search to protect Americans. Did it work? We don't know. We won't have any opinions from 2012 addressing this, but we had that report last week by the Washington Post, which said thousands of abuses are still existing at the NSA in 2012. In fact, abuses went up from 2011 to 2012.
That's a shocking revelation as well, Sam. Now, the FISA court is supposed to provide adequate oversight. Critics have called it...
I'm going to pull in my callers in a minute. This is the key points of this this video demonstration in the article I cited. 99%, as he stated, of information that was tapped was through fiber optic cable. In other words, it goes into a mainstream collection data sifting situation, and that can put it at risk for other people who are searching for things. Also, I wanted to mention two more things from this article. These judges made opinions against these documents in 2011, citing why the NSA was breaking rules. In an opinion written by Judge John Bates of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, he also says the government misrepresented its surveillance efforts at least three times between 2008 and 2011. Bates writes that the government first revealed its surveillance program to the court in 2011, but had been collecting internet data for at least 3 years. They noted that the plan had been to store large amounts of material temporarily to allow the inspection of foreign communications. Now, that's key because they're really only supposed to practice surveillance on people who have foreign entities. Foreign connections. The collection method in question was an upstream program which drew data from fiber optic networks, as I stated, that funneled a large portion of internet and phone data. The opinion is not related to other surveillance programs, but have garnered attention recently, which programs like PRISM and the bulk collection of telephone metadata. In the opinion, Bates noted that based on government's plans, the court understood that the acquisition of internet communications would be limited to discrete communications between or among individual account users. He stated that the revelation fundamentally alters the understanding of the operation scope. And in the footnote, he said, Bates writes, the court is troubled that the government revelations regarding NSA acquisition of internet transactions mark the third instance in less than 3 years in which the government has disclosed a substantial misrepresentation regarding the scope of a collection program. Now, there's three key factors here, and then I'm going to pull in my host. A, were they wasting time by kind of like corralling massive amounts of data and then having to sift through it and finding out that at least 80% of it was irrelevant? B, through their data collection process, did they put these search engines at risk? And maybe that's how other governments such as Russia have been able to tap us. And third, in light of what's going on today with Trump accusing England falsely on Fox News through his representative that they were helped to spy on America, are these problems going to be ongoing and balloon up over the next couple of years, especially with a type of presidency that is completely reactionary? So with that, I'll say hi to Ben first and Don second. Good evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I thought I'd probe a little farther into what we were lightly discussing 2 weeks ago regarding, I knew there had been some breaches in security with surveillance, but it does kind of play out now, being the fact that the CIA, the FBI, and the White House are at odds with each other. And good evening, Don. How are you feeling tonight?
Good evening, Jane. Good evening, Ben. Good evening, everyone. I'm tired as all get out. These graveyard drives, Uber drives, are starting to get to me because I've got to change hours that I'm working graveyard pretty much 3 days a week, and then off 4 days a week are regular time, so that messes up my sleep patterns. Other than that,
so what were your hours today from like two until now?
No, I didn't work. That's what I mean. I worked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because I knew that this week we were going to have a pretty big weekend with St. Paddy's Day and all. So
yeah.
Got a lot done. Did pretty well. They were pretty reserved this year, so I was proud of my Italian pseudo brothers and sisters.
You mean the Irish?
Yep.
Well, Barack Obama has Irish ties. Anyways, based on our topic today, do you guys have any immediate thoughts that come to mind?
Go ahead, Ben, because you know how I feel about computers. You know how I feel about the internet. I hate it.
Well, I'll let Ben go first, then, and John has joined us too, but I'll have Ben go first.
Go for it, Ben.
Okay. It seems to me like we've created a dump. If you go to the dump and you have a warrant for one person's trash, you're going to find everybody's trash all at the same place. So that's
mm-hmm.
basically what this information is basically a landfill of everyone's information. They can see it all, but it's not all admissible in court, so they have to be pretty sure what they try to bring a case against, because they have to tiptoe with this FISA court law.
Yeah, I was trying to find what the NSA would have found spying on Americans, but this other article popped up. According to the New York Times, Bush signed a presidential order in 2002 allowing the NSA to monitor without warrant international and sometimes domestic calls and email messages of hundreds of thousands of American citizens. I think in the long run it would be a waste of time. And I was listening to a Bible story the other day, and you know how like you were it was about this Christian who was in the Alfred P. Murrah building when Timothy McVeigh blew it up. I mean, how many times ahead of schedule has the government really caught people in the act of trying to do something? I know with the Unabomber, in the end it was his handwriting that was the giveaway clue, but I would like to find some information on what they really actually discovered more than people saying presidents are assholes. What do you think?
Go ahead, Don.
And John's on the line too now.
Okay. Well, I was trying to figure out what she just said, but anyway,
you missed the first 10 minutes. Maybe if you called in promptly, you'd know what we're talking about.
I was here at 9:01. Stop it. 9:01. So, come on, teacher, don't thank me. But
my fiber optic cables are probing your alarm clock.
That's fine because I've hated the internet from the day it was born. I couldn't believe that we would have the capability of instantaneous information from me being a journalist and. It's very, very difficult to fathom that you can have instant written communication to it from one person to another. And that was a game changer to where we are now, just like Ben mentioned, where we are a dump. We're everything that we type, every keystroke is potentially monitored, and we've been fighting my Nevada against Common Core on the Protect Nevada's Children to stop the data collection because there's so.
Who is that John guy that was associated with Hillary that they discovered that he had some kind of breaches in his email system? John.
Podesta.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh was saying today that he opened up a virus on his computer, and that's how he eventually got some kind of breach of security. But I don't know if Rush was speaking through the side of his mouth.
Well, I don't know.
I heard his password was password.
Really?
Didn't you guys? Yeah, I heard that from, I think it was Julian Assange that was given an interview, and he said his password was password. A 14-year-old kid could have hacked him.
Yeah. Well, no.
John, do you have anything to say about this? Well, I'm trying to look on the internet for what NSA really could discover with all these spying.
I like less information available to other people, and I think that technology isn't bad in and of itself. It's neutral. It's who's controlling it. And since human nature tends to go over time to the dark side or has that potential, I don't like giving too much power to too many people. I'm cool with people being quirky and having their own little private world and private thoughts. God gave us private thoughts. Our thoughts aren't displayed so for everyone to see, and there's a good reason for that. You know, there's certain things that just don't need to be divulged. They're for private, confidential situations between your family, your loved one, whatever. So when you start getting into systems that you can get full access or create information on people and cover up tracks, I'm not for it at all. This whole thing, imagine virtual phones or the technology where someone calls you up and they can see you exactly where you're at. Could you imagine how many conversations we'll stop having? You know, people just won't answer the phone, right? Because, like, hey, honey, where are you at? Oh, I'm walking the dog. It sounds like a like kind of like dance music in the background. Oh no, that was just someone in the park. You know, there's going to be so many people busted if they could see what you were doing at every moment.
Well, yeah. I want to throw something in here. Jonathan Penny, who is a PhD candidate at Oxford, analyzed Wikipedia traffic in the months before and after NSA spying became unraveled. Penny found a 20% decline in page views on Wikipedia articles related to terrorism, including those that mentioned Al-Qaeda, car bomb, or Taliban. He basically thinks that people were afraid to search for things they were interested in. And then his research, which was forthcoming in the Berkeley Technology Law Journal, echoes that a similar study conducted on Google search, there was a privacy activist and a professor at MIT found that Google activity for certain keywords fell after Snowden stories were splashed on every front page. Both in the U.S. and other countries, people became reluctant to search for terrorism-related words like dirty bomb or pandemic. But did anyone religiously follow Snowden? Or I did look up some of the documents that Julian Assange released. So it doesn't really matter what the NSA does. There's plenty of hackers doing other more dangerous things.
You're right, but when they get caught, they usually, well, in the movies, they get a choice. They either go to prison for a long, long time or they get a job. So the best hackers are already at the NSA.
Well, we have another caller. It's Albert. Albert, we're talking about the FISA court ruling in 2011 that determined that they were spying on Americans through their servers and their phone activity and probing people beyond what people were doing with foreign national governments. Do you have any expertise in this area?
No, not expertise. I mean, I just know basic stuff from what I hear in the news. Like, you know, when the on that one incident, I can't remember the name of it, but when the FBI was requesting the backdoor on the iPhones, and the iPhones went against it, but they had the backdoor anyways to get in into the iPhones. But you know what I mean? I mean, all iPhones have GPS. Oh, I mean, all smartphones now, I mean, they all have GPS, you know, Wi-Fi, so they can track you anyways. And they all have a built all cell phones. I mean, obviously you got to talk on them, so they have a built-in microphone, and you know, cameras have, you know, I mean, all cell phones, almost all, every phone has a camera. So I mean, what's to keep them from doing any of that? Yeah.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, I was going to say, this is a good topic because my girls just got cell phones and it scares the crap out of me that they have smartphones.
Well,
yeah,
they're young, though. I mean, what's the government going to do, spy on a 9-year-old?
Well,
surprise. You know, I'm just
not about them being spied on. It's them wandering on the internet. That's what scares me. I mean, you can Google something simple and then have an ad that's ridiculous. I mean, inappropriate for kids.
No, here's the thing. Here's my question, because child pornography, it's against the law. But if the FBI are looking through your camera and happen to see your, you know, 12-year-old or 15-year-old daughter naked, you know, and the FBI are looking right at her through the camera, are the FBI committing a crime?
Well, Kellyanne Conway said last week that the government can spy on us through our microwave. So apparently they've seen me in the kitchen popping popcorn naked.
But,
I just wanted to mention to you guys, though, that the Verizon was the carrier that they targeted. It has 98.9 million customers, and that was one of the companies NSA targeted.
Yeah. But here's the thing, because not just the FBI, but the DEA and the CIA, you know, they all watch through your camera, right? And so, I mean, if they're all watching accidentally somehow child pornography, you know what I mean? They're all committing a crime. So, I mean, how is this morally right? I mean, let's not even talk about just you know, them looking at us through the camera, you know, about privacy. This is not even privacy. This is committing a crime, which is child pornography. This is not about like the FBI, kind of get into our private lives. This is a crime that they're committing every day, you know, that, you know, child pornography, you know. I'm pretty sure it happens more than so.
That's something I really don't want to think about. Something to distinguish this is the NSA was collecting metadata, which is really basically only call logs to who you called and when, but not the content. But then there was a program called Boundless Informant that goes more deep into it, and they can look up the content. They can also use something like a heat map to view details and probe in every single country. So is there a time, can somebody mention a time when they felt their security was breached?
Yeah, that's different security.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're like a computer programmer or you're a software engineer, I mean, you know, for a regular guy, there's no way for him to tell if he's being hacked or even watched. So it's, you know, I mean, it could be happening to so many people, but nobody knows. Well, most people don't know.
Yeah, well, we at my wife at are the NAACP president. I'm the vice president, second vice president, and we are taught about history. And history is that the NAACP leadership is generally, normally perfunctory. Perfunctorily tapped. Our phones are always a source of potential information, and it's been going on pretty much since phones were made. So we're very aware of the fact that tapping of phones and now the ability to get information from computers. It's not only possible, but probable.
Pardon?
Yeah. It's probable.
I want to tell you guys a story about my bank. Last Saturday night, No, because it has to do with how much they know about you. So last Saturday night, I deposited two checks from my other banks. Electronically, like through a machine. And then Sunday, the account was only open 25 days, so they gave me $200 out of the money I deposited. But, of course, you know, they hold the rest till the Monday or Tuesday. And then Sunday I went in there to check my balance and make another deposit, and they kicked that deposit back, like the check popped right back out. And they kicked my card back out, and it told me I couldn't make any more deposits that weekend. Like, how would they know? I did it on a Saturday night, like at 9 o'clock, and by Sunday at 4 o'clock, they thought that maybe I was doing something wrong, and they kicked the check back, like they scanned it somehow. Do you think that's creepy?
It's a machine did it?
Yeah, the machine did it. It wasn't a human being.
Well, check this out. Let me give you a little bit of what I know, because I mean, I already told you that, you know, I'm studying automotive and stuff like that, and I'm also taking a smog class. So I'm gonna be getting my smog license by June, hopefully. But anyway, studying about smog, right? I'm learning about the smog machines and whatnot. And so here's the thing. So when you're smogging a car, you're supposed to, you know, connect the scanner, into the OBD2 connector, which is, you know, your car, right? So basically, you connect the computer directly to the car, and the computer's already connected to the internet. And so let's just say if you try to cheat your way into a smog and try to say that the car passed the smog and, you know, put a different car, it wouldn't work. You get caught. And soon the police, you know, if you keep on doing that too much, you know, they'll notice there's not a mistake, and they'll see you're doing it on purpose, and you're trying to smog dirty cars and trying to make them clean. And so they'll get an undercover cop to go there and bring a car over there and bust you. And that's how you lose your smog license, and you go to jail too. But here's the thing. So those machines that connect directly to the car, once they connect to the car, they get the VIN number already, the year, make, and model, all the information already, because that thing already connects directly to the car now, you know. And all the iOS machines that connect to the car 2000 up already do that. So, you know, trying to get cars to pass the smog is a lot more difficult than it was before. But basically, they get a lot of information. Also, here's another thing, too, because not only that, but they keep information on how many cars pass the smog and don't pass the smog in your shop and also many other shops to get around the estimate. You know what I mean? And then they also get all the information on, like, on what, you know, what did it, like, what did it pass on and what did it fell on when you tapped into the computer. So the bar, they call it the bar, the Bureau of Automotive Repair. They basically, the state, they get a lot of information on your car. So customers that come in to take their car to smog, you know, the government pretty has a lot of deep on your car and how it's running and, you know, in smog, which is a good thing in that case. But they do hold a lot of information there.
I don't have to deal with smog here. That's nice. I used to in California. It was tough. But I guess my I just had something happen where my internet shut down. And so I called them because the phone was barely, the internet on my phone wasn't working either. So I called the internet company, and it went to some foreign country. I don't know which one. I think it was an Asian country, and the guy called me by name. He said my first and last name right when he answered, and then he started asking me for more information, the physical address and the mailing address and all the billing information. But he already had my first and last name, and it's not even my account. I share it, I pay for it, but it's not in my name. But he knew my name by the phone that I called in. And this is a foreign country.
Was it like India or something?
If I had to guess, I would say either Philippines or Indonesia. I'm not really good with telling which one.
Remember in the news this week, they had a reference to the United Kingdom's eavesdropping and security agency, GCHQ. They've been secretly gathering intelligence from the world's biggest internet companies since at least 2010. And that's one of the countries that Trump blames was collaborating spying along with us on his Trump Tower.
The Trump Tower. It reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, the Eye of the... That was the Eye of the Torin or whatever that looks over everybody.
Oh,
I just remember.
Sauron.
Yeah. George Bush had a terrorist surveillance program too, and in 2013, well, there was a lot of revelations, but I don't see anything really major that came out of all this spying. So if you guys want to talk about something else tonight, you can too. Does anybody have anything else on their mind?
Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
I'm not Irish, but ditto. I've been
do
listening
a little more
to the
research.
Catholic.
You're Irish.
No, I'm not. I'm Finnish and Swedish. And Spain invaded Norway, but no Irish country invaded the countries that my family originates from. John, I'm sure you have something on your mind tonight. Can you liven the group up? In the meantime, I'm going to look up what Edward Snowden was up to in the last couple of years.
Did I already tell you about what I was thinking about what Kellyanne Conway said about microwave spying on you?
Well, I made a crack earlier tonight, but no, I don't think you did last week.
Might have been I was telling somebody that I remembered something about Wi-Fi imaging, and it was being studied, I think it was in 2009. If you Google Wi-Fi imaging, there was universities doing tests on how to image things using the Wi-Fi signal. So you can actually.
And how do they do it?
Well, it can be viewed. It's not like a photo image, but it's like a almost like an X-ray. It actually it leaves the outline. So you can
I'll play the clip about Kellyanne so that everybody knows what we're talking about. Hold on.
Whether Trump Tower was wiretapped?
What I can say is there are many ways to surveil each other now, unfortunately.
Do you believe
there was an article this week that talked about how you can surveil someone through their phones, through their, certainly through their television set, any number of different ways, and microwaves that turn into cameras, etc. So we know that that is just a fact of modern
life.
Sure.
That's what she said. Microwaves can turn into cameras.
And people assume that a microwave is just a kitchen appliance. They don't even look at the word microwave and think of it as a wavelength. So it was a big joke.
I mean,
that
I hate
said
to
microwave
say this,
spy.
But does Kellyanne Conway have any validity?
I think so. If you read about those studies that are being done with Wi-Fi imaging, you can narrow it down to the hertz or the megahertz or whatever, the frequency that a Wi-Fi operates at. There's a viewing camera for that. So law enforcement can see inside of a house just because of a Wi-Fi, and they can see through walls.
About 2 years ago... Go ahead, John.
To that point, though, I think, you know, there's this kind of nitpicking thing going on where every little statement, every little word, it just, like, everyone just has to overreact. Or in other words, the other thing she said, all the other devices, they can track. So she throws something in there off the top, you know, she could have said your dishwasher or whatever, your dog collar. The point is they're doing surveillance through all kinds of stuff. So I think, and saying basically she's an idiot, you know, she's throwing off in an interview, you know, 6 or 7 items, and she throws, like, example, you would say, no, she actually mentioned 4 or 5, John, you're lying or you're inaccurate. It's like, I'm just speaking off the top of my head. So was it a measured statement? You know, she probably, in hindsight, she probably should slow down. But when you're the main point she's saying is there's a lot of devices people use that can be, you know, used against you. And I think that they're missing that point. Like, no one's concerned about them spying on you. They're just concerned that she used an appliance that is inaccurate, you know, or isn't 100% accurate. So I don't know. I think they're just going over the top on her.
I can see your point, but she does have a way of bringing controversy to herself. I was going to say, a couple years ago, my landlord called me, and the Duluth police wanted to plant a camera. I live on the second floor. They wanted to plant a camera in my window, kitchen window, to spy on these big set of stairs that led up to the second floor of somebody else's house. because there was drug dealing there, and that was kind of cool. But do you guys think the police, I mean, like, what if somebody said, yes, you can do it, but you have to have some kind of documentation stating that you're going to be putting this device in my house?
Well, here's something else to consider, and that is with the Trump administration, you have a celebrity person that's used to saying stuff to get publicity. So a lot of things, he's throwing stuff out there just to get people riled up. Like, I saw that, you know, the CNN, they were kind of analyzing his statements with the wiretapping. So they had like five different experts, and one of them said, so what's going to be the consequence for this? And the other one said, well, he should apologize. He said, well, what else could happen out of this? He said, well, just really not anything. It's like, it's almost like they're waiting to impeach him on any, or have a revolution over everything he says. He's just going to shake people up. And it's like it's his chess game. He wants people to be talking about him all the time. So they're kind of playing into his game is what I see him doing.
I know, but the problem is now that he's president, they have to take him kind of seriously.
Yes.
Well, spying's a big deal nowadays because I'm on the wiki. Go ahead, Ben. I'm going to look something up on the WikiLeaks page.
Yeah, you were mentioning how the police can see through the walls. Well, it's called the Range R. It's actually a radar, but it's spelled the RANGE/R. And it's like a little green plastic device. They point it right through the wall, and they can see right through the wall. And actually, that's been, last time I checked, it was already distributed to 50 police departments. But that was like 4 years ago when I checked. So I believe probably every police department already has one already. But just type that in. It's the Range R, and it's a radar, and it looks right through the walls.
Cool.
Well, pretty soon the technology, well, if it's not already there, the technology will be there to be able to view a room that a Wi-Fi is in and then just backfeed the image back through the internet. They won't even need to have people there. They'll be able to see the Wi-Fi projection anywhere where it's emitted.
Now,
and I think the biggest mistake in her statement was saying turn into cameras. If she would have said microwaves that turn into viewable images, it wouldn't have been headlines.
Good point.
Now let me say something really interesting, because sometimes the past time I just watch some YouTube videos, but I watch like police chase, right? I'm watching police chases. And so I see the police get out the car, you know, and start shooting at these guys who are trying to drive away. And at no point has the guy even pulled a gun or even tried to purposely run somebody over. But, of course, he's driving a car, so he's dangerous, right? He's going really fast, so he must be somehow dangerous. So the police are trying to shoot him and kill this guy. So I'm wondering, that's what they do, I guess, for people that are trying to drive away and escape, right? I mean, you're a hazard. You can run over somebody and kill somebody, right, because you're running away. But the cops are also chasing you, so they can also run over and kill somebody as well, too, you know, because they're chasing you, right? I don't understand, because I'm watching these videos, and you can even type on YouTube and look at these videos. So easy to find. Very easy to type in, like, police chase shooting at their suspects as they're chasing them, whatever, you know what I mean? It happens more often than so. So, I mean, does anybody think that it's right for a police officer to shoot at somebody that's trying to, escape by driving away, you know, like driving fast or whatnot? Is it okay for a police officer to shoot at those guys?
Well, look what happened to Lavoie Finicum. He was chased right into a roadblock and killed.
Right. But here's another question. So
I guess,
is your
comment, Albert, based on a certain technology they're using?
No, no, but here's the thing, because look, it happens more often than so. I've seen a lot of videos of police chasing people, like suspects, and they're not even guilty yet. They're suspects. They haven't been brought to court and put guilty yet. So it's just a suspect trying to get away from the cops. He's driving away, right? And so they're shooting at him, right? And it happens a lot more often than so, right? And so I was wondering, well, they're shooting at him and they're trying to kill this guy that's trying to drive away. Well, you know, I mean, and with the police being more militarized, maybe in the future they'll just grab an RPG and blow the car up and just kill the guy already, you know? And maybe in the near future, maybe you can just use those drones they've been dropping all over the Middle East, and just the police can just call a drone to say, hey, drop a missile on that suspect that's trying to get away from us. And boom, there we go. The guy's dead now, right? Why don't you just do that? I mean, they're shooting at him with their gun, so they might have just, you know, shoot an RPG at him or drop a drone
strike. I think what the
him,
government man. Should fear is not that they have a wide-range spying program, but other people like hackers can access these programs and then expose the government, such as Year Zero. It's a CIA covert hacking program. Its malware arsenal and dozens of zero-day weaponry exploits a wide range of U.S. and European company products, like Apple, iPhone, Google, Android, and Microsoft Windows. So
yeah.
I guess the bigger picture is how wide in scope can this be, and who has the access to do damage?
Now, here's the law, because obviously
but
it's a
Albert, do you ever go on WikiLeaks? Because there's a lot of information on there.
Well, I mean, I'm going to college right now full-time at the college, and so I'm, you know, taking up some classes. Usually, most of my free time, I, you know, working on my homework, stuff like that. But during the summer, I mean, I would probably go into it in the summer and read a couple of things in there, you know. But here's the thing that I do know, back on what I was talking about, right? If a suspect is a potential hazard and danger, like say if the suspect shoots at a cop with his gun, then the cops are legally allowed to shoot back at him, of course, right? Now, if the suspect tries to run over a cop with his car, then a police can legally shoot at him, right? Because he's trying to kill a police officer with his car, right? But here's the thing, it's kind of skewed and confusing. Once the guy's actually trying to escape and drive away and the police are chasing him, and, you know, maybe a police car gets in front of him and he's trying to go around the police car and he hits the police car, and somehow that's viewed as, you know, that he's trying to purposely kill the police officer by hitting the bumper of the police car. So now the police are okay to shoot that guy and kill him, right? So that's the skewed part of it, you know? And I think that narrow skewed part, I think it screws up everything and makes it open to what I was just talking about, police officers in the future, like using RPGs and dropping drone strikes on suspects that are trying to get away, you know what I mean? What I was just talking about. And I think that, you know, that kind of way of I'm saying, you know, the guy's trying to drive away and let's just shoot him. I think it's wrong, you know.
Do you guys have any comments on what Albert said? And Don, are you still awake?
Yeah, I think that, Albert.
John,
I
see that
you
called back in. Yeah, go ahead.
John, Albert,
you're on the line. Go
listen,
ahead, Ben.
But me and Don already had this conversation about what Harry Reid wanted. Harry Reid wanted the right to use drones on Americans. And Rand Paul was in his face arguing for the constitutionality of it. He said no. He said, I'll argue as long as you want to, but this is not right. You can't use drones on Americans.
But here's my question. If the policemen are chasing this guy, right, and they're already shooting their guns at this guy that's trying to drive away and escape, you know? What's the difference between the police officer shooting at a suspect that's trying to drive away than the police officer calling on the drone strike to kill the guy? They're still killing the guy
one way or the other. So what's the difference, you know?
The difference is that a sidearm is registered to the police officer, and an armed drone would have to be registered to the military.
It's the law.
Here's the thing, John, you're on the air, by the way.
It bothers me that, you know, like, police officers kill a lot of people, but if they use a robot to kill somebody, it's a big deal, and everybody starts talking about all over the news that the police officer use a robot to kill somebody, that police officers kill somebody all the time with their guns, and they don't make a big deal when a police officer are shooting people, but if they use robots, it's a big deal, right? And so let's take it the other way around. When a guy, let's just say, uses a gun to kill another guy, it becomes a big gun debate on gun control because people are, you know, killing people with guns, you know. Policemen seem to have no gun control at all.
I heard some on NPR this week in that places like Piccadilly Square and where the trains are in London, like the average British citizen gets photographed 30,000 times a month if they cross through those main epicenters every day. So that's another thing to consider. A lot of time when they're solving crimes, and well, I saw this movie about this guy who was dropping like letters in a post office box, and he was caught they were surveilling the postal box. I mean, that's kind of trivial what I'm saying, but there's many different, we're not just talking about your home computer here. We're talking about public security. I used to take the subway in Los Angeles. I'm sure there was plenty of cameras down there. So, John, do you have a comment since your call dropped?
Well, to Albert's point, you know, I understand what Albert's saying, and cops should try to be responsible or accountable. But I have to say, we're looking at it from kind of an unpassionate point of view. In other words, if you're a cop, your life is threatened every day and disrespected. And when you're trying to stop people that are acting disorderly, like when a person's driving 80 or 100 miles an hour through traffic, through you know, city streets, no regard for society, at a certain point I say, you know, I have minimal regard for their life. I want to protect the police officer that's protecting my life, because if he goes down, that's the end of his life. That's it. He's chosen to defend and to try to secure my safety. And this other person's compromising that, you know, he can kill, run over, you know, babies, small children, old ladies, whatever. There's no regard for it. It's like if a cop wants you to pull over, you pull over. And I know there's abuses of the system, but if a cop is dead, that's the end of his life. And what's he doing? He's just doing his job. So I want people to back off of the police. He's the peacemaker. I want people to respect that. You know, I mean, I'm going to lean more that way than the rights of people that are breaking the law. You know, if you're not breaking the law, the cop is harassing you, that's a different issue. How does that, I mean, does anyone feel that way, or am I alone with this?
Totally. Everybody should be as nice as they can to their local, especially their sheriff or their policeman, because you know those people. You see them every day, and if you have a good experience with one of those people, you know they're going to know your name. They're going to probably let you off.
Now, let me add something to that. What you didn't mention, sure, it should be nice to a police officer like a human being, of course, right? But if you're rude to a police officer and you're mean to a police officer, guess what? That police officer knows where you live, knows where you work, and you know what? If you ever get in trouble, let's just say it's not your fault, but you're in a bad situation and you have nothing to do and you did everything right, but a police officer gets there. Matter of fact, it was the same guy that you disrespected. Guess what? He's going to make sure that you're guilty even though you're innocent, because he doesn't like you, you know? And, you know, maybe you know, maybe he'll do that, maybe he will not do that. They have the opportunity to do that. So what's to keep them from stopping from doing that if they don't like you?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. I think I don't know.
I think it goes a little bit beyond them liking you.
Everyone's experience is different. All I can tell you is that if you live a peaceful life, you know, you tend to reap that. And when you have a life that's very disruptive, you're disrespectful, you're pissing people off, it just seems to come around. And I could be wrong, but that's been my experience. I really don't go to sleep at night worrying about what the cops are going to do to me. Now, when I'm racing around in my car or I'm breaking the rules of my bicycle, I am looking over my shoulder. And my attitude is like, if you know, I'm breaking it here. If you want to get me, you're going to have to catch me. But if you catch me, it's like, you know what? I'll fess up. I was breaking the law. You know, I ran a red light. I'm going to pull over. I'm not going to be a dumbass. So, I mean, I kind of have that attitude. It's like, yeah, I'm all for people, you know, if they need to bend the rules. But if you get caught, then play the game. And if you don't, I'm kind of, if the cops go heavy on you, I'm kind of like, yeah, you kind of had it coming, you know. I don't know. That's been my experience. Maybe everyone else is different.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if I, you know, at this point, you know, I mean, I naturally, a police officer to me is a human being, and a human being that commits errors. And that's kind of okay, but what I see often, more than often, is too many errors and too, unbiased decisions, very biased decisions, maybe against black and towards white, or maybe because he doesn't like the other guy because the other guy disrespected him and the other guy was a lot nicer, so he leaned to the other guy and, you know, and wrote his report to discriminate the other guy who disrespected him, you know. So, police officers are human beings, and they, you know, they're disrespected or stuff like that. I mean, they will write a report. So in that case, in cases like that, I'd rather even have a robot come over like an artificial intelligent robot, come over that has no feelings whatsoever, just come over and write the report and deal with the situation, other than an emotional police that, you know, that's gonna get angry if I get angry. Yeah.
Right. The problem you're gonna run into though is RoboCop's gonna get you 100% of the time practically.
Except
cops gonna miss you a lot of times. I'll give you an example. When I go to work, I because of the layout of the street, I have to kind of go the wrong side of the road for like half a block. Now I can go the right way. I got to go to the light, I got to wait 2 minutes, and I got to go and make this weird turn, and I got to wait another 2 minutes. It's like an extra 5 minutes, and I'm always down to the wire. So I do my little shortcut, and there's this motorcycle cop, and he's Mr. Tie-Ass, and he will nail anyone for anything. So when I make that move, I'm always looking over my shoulder. Am I breaking the laws? Yes. Is it impacting anyone? No, only myself. But I take that risk because if I'm late, I just got to do it. I can't be late. But the point is, I'm breaking the rules, but I don't mind if I get caught because I am breaking the rules. And I'm aware of that. I'm looking for that guy. And if I see him around, I take another route. You know, buyer beware.
Yeah.
I just won't tell you what to do it and what street because if that cop's listening, he's going to get a free ticket every day on me.
I had an experience one time. I bought a truck, and I didn't. You only have 15 days here to register it in your name if you buy a vehicle. So I bought this truck, and I was just going to work every day, and I kept on missing the time to go get my the license transferred or the title transferred. And I finally get the day off to
to go do it, and it happened to be Columbus Day. So the title place was close, and I had to drive right past the police station, and I was on my way back. I picked up some other things in my pickup while I was there, and I was bringing them back home because I couldn't get the title changed. And a police officer pulls out and follows me. Every turn that I make, he's right behind me. And I'm like, well, pull me over then. He was following me all through town. And he decided to flip his lights on right when I pulled up to a three-way stop. What a terrible place to pull somebody over. And it happened to be the same officer that was there. I had to kind of subdue a customer. I didn't put hands on him or anything, but I had to de-escalate a situation, and that was the officer that showed up. And he didn't recognize me. But the point is about surveillance and stuff is that he knew when the deal was made. He knew when I bought the truck. So he pulled me over for it not being in my name. I couldn't get the tabs yet. But he already knew the whole transaction. It was all in his computer. So. So they're gone.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Check 1, 2.
Yeah, I'm here.
Who else is here? Just us? Huh.
Is everybody there? Can I play something quick for you guys?
Go ahead.
Don, are you still there?
I am. I'm just listening.
No, Don.
Don't know about that one.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to play. This is Edward Snowden talking to Shane Smith about the state of surveillance and how they hack our phones.
Like technology allows almost anyone to spy on almost anyone.
Even if you trust the government today, what happens when it changes? When eventually we get an individual who says, you know what? Let's flip that switch.
I'm going to skip forward to where he dissects the phone. Hold on.
If the hotel rooms aren't pre-wired for survival around the world,
if it is possible to make an impenetrable device, how do we stall or disrupt the terrorist plot? But according to the most famous whistleblower in the world, the government already had this capability. As it turned out, Snowden was proved right, because the FBI was able to crack the iPhone without Apple's help. Now, Edward Snowden remains a polarizing figure in American politics, because on one side, he's considered a hero on the level of Woodward and Bernstein, who broke the Watergate scandal, but on the other, he's considered a traitor who jeopardized American intelligence and security around the world.
A traitor?
a traitor to the United States. These records were spread about publicly by Edward Snowden intentionally, recklessly, and I might say illegally.
So we went to Moscow.
Snowden was a project to mount on airplanes an image capture and fly around the city. They can tell when you've traveled. They can tell when you move. This all happens without warrants.
Right.
Shenanigans was happening in Yemen. That's where it was being tested. You go, well, look, this is being used to aim missiles at terrorists. I'm okay with that. But these programs have a disturbing frequency, a tendency to move
forward. I can't even hear that.
Okay, I'll stop it. I couldn't find... He said that... He said at one point you can open somebody's phone, turn on the camera, and somehow spy on the individual while they're using the phone. But I'm not going to go through the whole 25 minutes. It's going to disrupt the show.
Can I read something real quick?
Yes.
Okay. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That's the Fourth Amendment.
Yep, that was one of the things mentioned in the original article I looked up. That's what the government was violating. The question is now that they have all this information, how are they using it, and is it affecting our lives? And I think they're just wasting money, in my opinion.
Well...
But I'm glad you read it because it kind of clarifies what they're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
John? John, where you work, does the lady, the dog owner, have cameras in her apartment to spy on you?
She doesn't, and we're not going to give her any ideas either. Like, if when I get into arguments and situations with her, I don't throw out certain things to give her more ideas. So there's certain things I will launch at her. That's not one of them.
Well, there has been things like a nanny cam before where they spy on babysitters.
That's a term I would definitely not throw at her. Because
Albert, didn't you say one time there was some kind of surveillance on your campus in which they told you if you show up on the state, you're going to be recorded?
Yeah, we got an email that was going to be a drone videotaping on campus. So the email got sent out to all the students, and which I'm a student, so I got one. And it was just telling me there's gonna be videotaping it, and if I don't want to get videotaped, then you know, don't show up. And I was like, what do you mean don't show up? I gotta show up because I gotta go to class. So one way or the other, I'm gonna get videotaped even if I want to or not because I gotta show up to class. So you know, what's the point telling me not to show up if you know what I mean, if I gotta go to class? So you know, so the drone was there videotaping, and I went to class anyways. But then when the helicopter was there videotaping a week later, you know, there was a helicopter there, you know, like a news channel. It was a private helicopter, and it was up there, and it had like a really big camera, and I could kind of see it when it got kind of close. And so it had a camera too, and I was like, okay, there's a helicopter with a camera. I didn't get any warning about this helicopter. I guess it's okay for the helicopter to do it, the drones and that. So, you know, I mean, if a policeman or a news station or a rich guy has a helicopter, it's okay for them to use a camera on their helicopter because they can afford it. But if a guy buys a drone for $100 and tries to videotape, then it's a big issue.
I just, I hear what you're saying. With all those protests going on, I wonder how the police and the government were monitoring those kind of people.
Well, that's
I don't know about you, but if I see a drone hovering outside my window, I'm taking that thing down.
Well, that's
are
you
going to do it with a gun?
The videotaping. Hello? The videotaping.
Yes, John.
The videotaping.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah,
helicopter owned from a private millionaire. A private millionaire flies over your house with a private helicopter and videotapes you. What are you going to do then?
Probably
nothing. Call
the
FAA.
Yeah, nothing. But that's what I always warned about the rallies that I put together. Make sure that I tell people, make sure that they're willing to get their faces on camera because they will be there. And when I was in Paris and not so much Barcelona but Rome, you had cameras almost on every block. Not so much in Barcelona but on buildings and everything. It was pretty pervasive and to me intrusive. I'm used to it because I worked casinos and stores, so you know that's something that's always being videotaped. But I can't imagine, it's very difficult for me to imagine that all the cameras that these cities have to follow, be able to follow people. They don't have the capability of keeping storage. And that's our problem with the internet, with the cameras and all, is that storage.
Yeah, they do have the capability. A big center in Utah that was built is designed just to keep storage. They probably can have the capacity to store all of the information on all the internet every day.
Well, we have Switch here now. Those two would probably be combined, but that one in Salt Lake City was meant only for the NSA and Common Core. Those are the only two entities that are, at least when the program was put together, the building was built and running. Those are the only two governmental agencies that were allowed to store their information in the super data centers. But we've got Switch now, and Switch has dedicated a lot of its storage capabilities to credit card consumers and just a few governmental agencies. But they've got everybody's credit card, their credit, et cetera, here in Reno. But, that still doesn't make it right.
And why do they have everybody's credit card?
Because they do. Everybody has to sign that disclosure. When you open up an account, a Facebook, bank account, whatever, you have to sign privacy disclosures. More often than not, if you read those disclosures, it's on the negative where you are actually saying that you authorize, not necessarily that it is, the positive or it's on the negative, which is you cannot do this. It says you are authorizing us to. And so that gives them the capability of almost blanket offering the disclosure. These corporations are selling their assets free and giving it away to third, fourth, and fifth parties for favors. They don't even, very few of them sell your information. This information is so pervasive, so omnipresent that they're throwing information around like, toilet paper. So for the most part, they're just gathering this information and giving it away to all third, fourth, fifth, and sixth parties. And once you get down to six parties, you're liable to be getting anything as a call or a text or an email. So you don't have the faintest idea because these guys are really, that's when you start getting down to the scum of the earth. But, we're seeing that they're Russian. The Russians are right in the middle of it, and they're trying to take advantage of it. The Chinese and Russians are trying to take advantage of it as much as possible. And the UK, of course, they do have the capability of doing it. It's just that their motives are not necessarily to be egregious to the United States. I think it's more of just having information, a hobby. They like that.
Have you guys seen that movie Eagle Eye?
No.
I don't look at movies because they're too fake.
Well, this one will make you think. It's about this. It's a fictional story about the government having this massive program that's like a computer entity that's self-aware. It can make decisions that's best for the country according to statistics. And it can see every intersection, every phone, everything. It can just tap into anything it wants and make a decision for the country. Then it gets out of control. It's a pretty good movie.
I did see that movie a few years ago about Julian Assange in the big theaters. Something about We Spy on Us, and it was like a documentary. Don, not all movies are a waste of time, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, even the movie Minority Report, that's a lot of fun to watch, but it's a very interesting movie because it's just action. You think it's got nothing to do with our government, right? Like, they're arresting people for committing future crimes. And so, like, you know, they take people before they even commit the crime in the future. So it's kind of like a futuristic movie. But it happens every day. Look at Guantanamo Bay, right? They hold them because they think in the future they might commit an illegal act. So they hold terrorists without due process. Well, they call them terrorists, but they're not terrorists because they haven't done due process. So they're just holding because they think they're going to commit. They're going to go bomb somebody or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I hear ya.
Well, the thing about this movie, the twist at the end was that the computer program figured, according to all the statistics it was able to gather, determined that the citizens were the biggest threat to the country. So it actually was just going to eliminate people because we were the problem as far as the computer could tell.
Wow.
I don't know. It made it pretty... So I wanted to bring something up about the topic of the show about the FISA originally. Is that – okay, so would that power be delegated by the Constitution?
I actually did do a show on it 6 years ago. The FISA courts, they're a private court system that's it's not open to the public for hearings.
So it's not a United States
federal law which prescribes procedures for the physical and electronic surveillance of foreign intelligence information. Now, the FISA courts are created by federal law, which means that it was probably created through the executive branch, kind of like, you know, like the tripart panel that investigates presidents when they have wrongdoing. It's probably something along those lines.
So it's like we can be unhappy with it, but we didn't even get to vote for it. It just basically happened. And my question
was... It was introduced as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of May of 1977, and you'll laugh who chartered it. It was created by Senator Ted Kennedy and was signed into law by President Carter in 1978.
Yeah.
It was co-sponsored by 9 senators. And it resulted
It was a response to Nixon's power at the time.
Right. During that time, I also wrote another paper. There was also a 3-judge panel that was created so that if a president is ever caught committing criminal acts. It's called the Independent Counsel. It's separate. It's within the executive branch, but separate from the authority of the president. It's a three-judge panel that investigates wrongdoing by a president. So this was also a creation, the FISA Act.
Okay, so the reason why I asked is because the 10th Amendment, so we already read the 4th Amendment, we all agree that that's still true, but the 10th Amendment says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So that means that if this law isn't even constitutional, is outside of the Constitution.
Well, I just saw something that caught my attention. This creation of this FISA Act was from President Richard Nixon's illegal activities, but he used federal resources to spy on political and activist groups. The act was created to provide judicial and congressional oversight of the government's covert surveillance activities of foreign entities. So technically, Congress does have a hand in it. It's not just a bunch of independent judges and working independently with the CIA and FBI and whoever else is involved.
Right. So so it's against the
4th
Amendment.
So what are you saying about the 10th Amendment that's in conjunction with this?
No, that means if it's not a constitutional power, then it's supposed to belong to the states or to the people. That's exactly how it reads. So anything that's created outside of the three branches aren't constitutional. It should be held by the states.
I think some things got mixed up when George Bush created the Department of Homeland Security. And then nobody really paid attention to the FISA Act until it came out that the NSA was doing warrantless domestic wiretapping by the Bush administration. And that's where it kind of was brought into the light again. All I know is that it is a secret court, and I'm not exactly sure how it works. I only know a little bit of sketchy information about it.
Mm.
But there are loopholes, like the president may authorize through the Attorney General office electronic surveillance without a court order for a period of 1 year, provided that it is only used to acquire foreign intelligence information. So it's kind of like the War Powers Act, where they can go into a country for 60 days without congressional approval, but then they have 60 days to declare if it's a war. So I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of loopholes in all these different things. But I'm not really prepared to answer all these specific constitutional questions.
Oh, it wasn't a question. I just wanted to read the 10th Amendment to make sure you guys understand that this is violating more than one amendment, the 4th and the 10th, clearly. But that just sounds to me like they can record a whole bunch of stuff and they can hand select what they can use in court. That means that if there's a conversation between a Russian intelligence person and a politician, they could bring that half of that conversation to court, right?
Well, one thing that you might have missed at the beginning of the show, it was the FISA court itself that ruled that the NSA was using impractical matters to draw information from the American public, which wasn't really a target because they were non-involved foreign citizens. So it was the judge that slapped the hands of the government agency who was doing the spying, and it was the FISA court who did that.
Okay.
Can I read something quick as long as we're on this note? There have been very few cases involving the constitutionality of FISA. Two lower court decisions found FISA constitutional In the U.S. versus Dugan, the defendants were members of the Irish Republican Army. They were convicted for various violations regarding the shipment of explosives and firearms. The court held that there were compelling considerations of national security in the distinction between the treatment of U.S. citizens and non-resident aliens. In the U.S. versus Nicholson, the defendant moved to suppress all evidence gathered under FISA. The court affirmed that the denial of the motion that the court flatly rejected claims that FISA violated. Due process clause of the Fifth Amendment, equal protection, separation of powers, and the right to counsel were provided by the Sixth Amendment. However, in the third case, the special review court for FISA, equivalent to the Circuit Court of Appeals, opinion differently how FISA should limit the president's inherent authority for warrantless searches in the foreign intelligence area. In the sealed case 310, the special court stated all the courts have decided the issue held that the president did not have an inherent authority to conduct warrantless searches to obtain foreign information. So it sounds like there are checks and balances, but I don't know who has the authority over the FISA court. I guess the Supreme Court would.
Or do they?
Well, in 1967, the Supreme Court of the U.S. held that requirements of the Fourth Amendment applied equally to electronic surveillance and physical searches. You were talking about the Fourth Amendment, proper search and seizure. The court did not address whether such requirements apply to uses of national security. In 1972, the court took up the same issue again, where the court held that there was an approval that the court held that court approval was required in order for domestic surveillance to satisfy the Fourth Amendment. Justice Powell wrote that the decision did not address this issue that may be involved with respect to foreign powers or their agents. I don't know. It looks like the Supreme Court got involved at least once. Am I putting John, Don, and Albert to sleep?
No, I'm here.
So maybe there's a drone following Don in his Uber cars.
Right.
Or maybe they're planting a spy as one of Don's customers. I'm trying to make it exciting. You guys, we've talked for 90 minutes now. If you guys, can we do our conclusions?
Well, I mean, you want to make it exciting. How about this? For drones, if the police uses a drone, he doesn't need a warrant to fly a drone over your house and into your backyard. He doesn't need a warrant to do that.
Well, I don't feel like I'm an at-risk American because besides cheating on my taxes once, I don't think I'm really – I think they're only interested in people who have money. So I don't have enough – I have about $6,000 in my 401k and about $900 in the bank. I don't think I'm an at-risk American. How about you guys?
I'm not at risk.
John, are you at risk?
I'm a black man. I'm always at risk.
It took the whole night for one dramatic statement.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a Mexican, so I'm always at risk too.
Man.
I'm not deportable, well, but I am deplorable. John, are you at risk?
Actually,
I guess John dropped out again. John?
Actually, I'm not at risk, I don't think. I'm a low risk.
Neither am I. So next week, we're going to play a game. Someone pick a number between, everyone pick a number between 1 and 15. I have a number
now?
In my head. Yeah,
okay,
Ben,
zero.
You go first.
0.
7.
16.
Ben said the right number. It was 7. So, Ben, you get to pick the topic next week.
What? Okay.
And in the meantime, I'm going to watch this HBO. There's a really good HBO thing on YouTube about Edward Snowden. He's being interviewed by a guy. I think the name of the show is called Vice. So, but we can do the show on anything next week. Let's see what happens in the next 7 days with the Trump administration.
Hey, you should totally watch that movie, Eye in the Sky. Remember the one I mentioned before?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I think I started it one time.
I think it was Eagle Eye.
No, Eye in the Sky. No, that one, the Eye in the Sky, that one came out like a couple months ago, just last year.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
New movie. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll try looking on, if either one of those are on Netflix, then, I'll do it.
I believe Eye in the Sky is not on Netflix, so you're going to have to rent it on Redbox. I don't know if Redbox, it's not a really popular movie, because I got a lot of dislikes. You probably wouldn't even find it on Redbox, so you might want to have to find it somewhere else. You can maybe try YouTube or something like that, somewhere on YouTube. Maybe try to watch it there free or something. But that's the best I can recommend. But I actually watched Eye in the Sky in the theaters. Like, I went to the theaters and I watched it in the theaters, it wasn't that fun to watch. It was probably a waste of my $10 to watch at the theater. Waste of money, I would say. And it's very, 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 if you ever had your family bombed by a drone and you watched this movie, Eye in the Sky, it would piss you off a lot. It would make you very angry.
I remember the movie I saw in the indie theater. It was called We Steal Secrets. It came out in about 2014. It was about Julian Assange and, his tactics. John, I'm going to have you do the conclusion tonight since you're good at it. So go ahead, John.
Well, my conclusion is that technology is not good. It's not bad. It's whatever the user wants it to be. So we always must ask ourselves, do we want to empower someone else to use technology on us? And that goes to whether it's putting chips on people, video surveillance, drones, computers compiling information that can be used on us. And the more power we give to that, it gives control. And it's whoever is in charge. Historically, leaders can be good and they can be bad. And the more absolute power that they have, they say it corrupts absolutely. I always have this saying, and that is, what if Hitler had the internet? So I think it's a word of caution to those who are young, for they seek knowledge, they seek technology, they see that as all good. And there should be caution. It's not a question of can we, it's a question of should we. And, before one eats of the forbidden fruit, before you open Pandora's box, realize sometimes that you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So be careful. There's two things in life that are tragic. One is not having what you want, And the other thing is having what you want. So I advise everyone to proceed with caution and with love and to trust God, not in man, because in man he has a bend towards evil. And, you know, we need all the help we can get on this one. So that's my view on it. And I hope that
I'm
going to
be
all...
playing one of your songs, by the way, in a few minutes.
Wow.
When the premium drop, I have to upload all the songs again, so I only have a few on upload. Okay?
Yeah. Technology.
Okay, my conclusion is the government is vast and inefficient, and I think in some cases, I would like to see an effective spying program where they really accomplish something. I don't mind. I'm one of the Americans that don't mind some of my, I don't mind if some of my privacy is invaded. In fact, I welcome the publicity. So if you're listening, NSA, please give us a kudos for our radio show. Ben or Don or Albert, would you like to say some final words before I play John's song?
No, I have nothing to say to the administrative FBI. No. Nothing to say. You already heard what I have to say many times before, so I don't have to repeat myself. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll try to watch Eye in the Sky before next week. I have plenty of time this week. I'm on school vacation. Okay, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, tell them to like it, subscribe it. No,
Facebook.com/politicalgravity. Go ahead.
So I guess I got to come up with something good. I'll let you know early because I really don't have studying time. So I might give you a topic and you do a good intro.
I could
intro.
Study it.
Well,
anyone
you do
who
a
has
good
Netflix,
intro.
Try to watch Eye in the Sky or Eagle Eye this week. Is that what it was called, Eagle's Eye?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked it. Of course.
Okay,
it's fishing.
Thank you for joining us. Don, get some rest. And here we go with the song. God bless you all. Take care.
Yeah.
to John.
Really? Everyone's
actually, Ben listened to about half of the song. But the NSA will be probing your PayPal by noon tomorrow under the auspices of Jihad J.
We'll put you under the Witless Protection Program.
Or the warrantless spying.
Yes, whoever there is watching me, they will come and get me. It's inevitable, and I'm ready. I face the devil and death every day, so I'm more than ready. In fact, it's my ticket out, so come and get me. It's all I can say. I break the law every day.
God, but you are an upstanding citizen who pays taxes, so you're not disposable.
This is true. I'm part of the Matrix. They need me.
So anyway, we'll do that transaction tomorrow, and hopefully the NSA will listen to our show, and George Bush and Dick Cheney's cronies and Obama's has-beens. With that, I'm going to head to bed, okay?
All right. Godspeed to you, Janessa Hoffman.
God bless you, and thank you for joining and being a part of the show. Have a good night.
Good night.